Hey, I made a mistake on Sunday. Daniel Hicks and his wife Patricia, tonight's their wedding anniversary, so they're not going to be here tonight. They're out having dinner, which is good. And so they're going to be they're going to be here next Wednesday. So if you came to hear them, I apologize for that. You get to hear me, and that's okay. And so yeah, he's and somebody else. You know, they came up and asked me. I thought I gave it pretty good. They are, you know, have purchased some homes or a home to help with ladies who are in need of, who are down and out and need a place to stay in order to rehabilitate and get back and really give an opportunity to get their lives back together. So we know that, you know, we support the Stockton Rescue Mission, which has the ladies, has the guys, and we support them monthly and have helped and all that, but they're always full. And so they're doing a ladies one. I just got in contact with somebody else who's doing a men's one, just a men's one by themselves. So we're, you know, and praise God that there's an opportunity there. They've gotten some grants to be able to do this. And so they're working things out. So praise the Lord for that. And, you know, it's good to see the body of Christ being the body of Christ. Amen. Because there's somebody else in our church helping them do all the, how to do all the financing and how to do all the different things like that. So, you know, it's just learning who's gifted in certain areas and stuff. And so we're believing God for that. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to let you know that. And then let's pray. And then we're going to get in. I'm actually going to teach on the subject of healing and health and wellness tonight, because we have so many people that have been attacked this last week and just month and stuff. And there's been so many stuff going on. And so I just, you know, praise God, believe that if we can just get, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And when you hear it, it actually should build upon this and should be able to bring faith and life into you. And it's always good to eat good food. Amen? Amen. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to talk about some things. Amen. And I want to share from my heart, because I want to, I have some things I really believe that'll be a blessing and a help, especially to us as the body of Christ. And so if you're watching tonight, you want to hang in there for some things, because it is. It's healing, but it's health and it's also wellness. It's just knowing how to receive and knowing how to fight. You know, you got to know how to fight in our day and age in a lot of areas, okay? You need to understand that. If we don't know how to fight against the enemy, our warfare is not against flesh and blood, right? We're not against this person, that person, that religion. Our fight is against the enemy. It's the devil. It's the lies of the enemy that we have to deal with. It's his forces, his things. And as long as we keep ourselves focused on that, there's an enemy arrayed against us, and we get our eyes focused on the Word of God, we'll defeat him every time. But if he'll get us over into the air where we're starting to fuss and fight about this and argue about that and act like the world, then he'll defeat us every time. Like one person said, if we'll keep him in the arena of faith, we win. If he keeps us in the arena of reason and sight and circumstance, he wins. Amen? Amen? So we're going to keep him in the arena of faith, and we're going to win. Amen? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these wonderful folks that are here. And Lord, we just give you honor. We give you glory. And Lord, I just yield myself to you. I want to be a vessel that you can use. Holy Spirit, you just speak through my lips, think through my mind, speak, hallelujah, help me to speak as an oracle of God, set on fire of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we honor you, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your covenant. Thank you for your word, your holy written word. Thank you that we look to the holy written word to bring life to us, bring strength to us. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you for it. Lord, you're so good. You're so wonderful. We just honor you for it. And Father, we covenant with you to give you all the glory and the praise for everything that's done. Thank you for touching lives. Thank you that you sent your word and healed us. Thank you that we can speak the word and it can penetrate to the hearts of the hearers. So Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that your word is anointed, your word is powerful. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, if you did bring your Bibles or your iPads or whatever you brought, praise the Lord. Go to Isaiah 53, because I want to share from the Old Testament and the Old Covenant from some things. Because if you don't understand what Jesus did, you know, and the price that he paid. And I had to bring out my glasses here for my little Bible here. So, hallelujah. And I was going to go ahead and squint, and I can see it real, you know, but I just figured, hey, we might as well bite the bullet, bring my glasses, everything's cool. All right, Isaiah 53, and I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. Verse 3 through 5, says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Amen. You know, Jesus paid the price. And when you look at these words, and when you look these words up in the Hebrew, when you begin to see what all they entail, I'm not a Hebrew scholar or a Greek scholar, but I got a wonderful friend that is, and I got a Strong's Concordance, and I got a Vine's Expository Dictionary to New Testament words, and I got, you know, a Young's Concordance. I got all these different things that I can go by. But what happens is that we have a tendency to belittle the cross and to belittle what Jesus went through and what, right here, 700 years before Jesus was crucified, God spoke through Isaiah and said, this is what's going to happen to my son, the sacrifice, what's going to take place. And it's amazing of what he said here, because in verse 3 it says, he was despised and rejected of men. How many know Jesus was the most despised person that ever walked the face of the earth? He was despised. It was disdained. He was disesteemed. He was held in contempt. I mean, it was envy that, I mean, everywhere he went, people opposed him. There was opposition. I mean, and it was all the religious folks. It wasn't the world that was giving him the problems. It was all of the religious folk. They were the ones that do it. And notice that it says he was despised and he was rejected. It's amazing how many people get all so upset if somebody doesn't like something or somebody doesn't, you know, get things. And rejection is a huge thing. But Jesus was the most rejected, abandoned, you know, forsaken person. You know, I mean, he said this, the foxes have homes, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He said, hey, all of you are going to forsake me. You're all going to disappear. And of course, Peter, you're like, no, I'm already to die. And we know Peter was the first to deny. God bless the boy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But what I want you to get down is to this, where it says, he is despised and rejected a man. He was a man of sorrows. And that word sorrows is an incredible word in the Hebrew language. Because believe it or not, it talks about that he was a man of physical torment, a man of deep anguish, acute pain, and a profound suffering. And you think, wow. But you know, Jesus was not that way in the sense of when he was walking the earth. He was that way when he took all of our sin and he took all of our sickness and all of our disease. Can you imagine taking the sin of the world? Not just your sin, but the sin of the world. I mean, the agony, the difficulties. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed and he sweat great drops of blood, because it was such an agony of what was taking place. And not only was he a man of sorrows, but it says that he was acquainted with grief. Amen? Hallelujah. Says, you know, and he was acquainted with grief, which means that he understood not only the physical pain that you have, and this is where the glorious thing comes in, he also understands your whole mental mindness and the mental pain that you have and the thought process. Because thank God, God didn't just heal us physically, he healed us mentally. He changed our whole minds and our whole thoughts. Amen. Why? Because the Bible says, renew our mind on the word of God. It changes our whole thinking about things. It changes our whole perspective of things. And it should change our whole perspective of things. Because as we look at this, just looking at Isaiah 53:3, we haven't even got to verse 4 yet. Christ was despised and treated with contempt. He was wholesale abandoned and rejected of men. He endured physical torment, deep anguish, and acute pain and profound suffering. He personally tasted physical and mental illness and disease and sickness and was shunned by humankind, who turned their faces and to avoid looking upon his suffering. He did all of this for each one of us. Even though he was despised for it, he was not appreciated for it, he was not esteemed for it, he wasn't valued for it, but he endured everything, Hebrews says, for you and me. And if you go back to Isaiah 52, verse 14, it says that he was beaten beyond recognition, that you would not even notice that he was even a human being. I mean, if you've all seen The Passion from way back when, and you see the movie, you know, when he's getting beaten, I mean, almost probably all of us, if we watch that in the theater, or it just makes you want to go, oh my gosh, turn your head away. We hid our, and the Bible says, we hid, as it were, our faces from him because we couldn't look on him and couldn't see what was transpiring. Why did he do all that? Why did God allow all that? Why did God allow him to hang on the cross and to be beaten, to be pierced, and to be nailed to the cross, and this incredible death? Because he was the supreme sacrifice for you and me. He was beaten so that by his stripes we are healed. And he took upon him all of our sickness, all of our diseases, and all of our sins. He was that. He did it all for us. Amen? You know, funny thing about it is that we've always said that we're going to be able to see that, you know, which we know because he told Thomas to stick his finger into his hand, you know, his hand into his side. So we know that he has the holes in him. But it's amazing that when they looked upon his face, apparently that was all healed from everything that we see in the Bible. Because according to this, he was beat, beyond recognition. How many of you know if you get that many scars, that many things, your face is going to be disfigured? And yet, the only things that we have that in the New Testament, after he was raised from the dead, that they were able to say, oh, it's the Lord, it's the thing, and they were able to look and to see, is we have the holes in his hands and the holes in his feet and the hole in his side. Yeah, each way, wherever they did it to hold him up there, you know, how to hold him up on the cross. But when we see that thing, you go, okay. And, you know, I often think about, and this is just my thoughts. I'm like, okay, I know the reason why he's going to continue to have that is because he still has the markings that he was the sacrifice. And so my thought is the reason that everything else was healed and whole is because he provided healing for his own body. Because because now he's man with God. And so the healing he provided had to do him. Right? Amen. And so it didn't repair any of these things because that's to let us all know all through eternity, our Savior and the sacrifice that was for you and for I. Amen. Isn't that awesome? So he actually received his own sacrifice. Amen. Now that's what I like to think because that's what it says. It shows us. And then everybody who afterwards, you know, we hear about people who they saw, got to see Jesus. It's all about, wow, he's amazing. It's not how he's disfigured. But yet here it says he was beaten beyond recognition and we had to turn our face from him. Okay. Isn't that amazing? It's awesome. But look at verse 4. Verse 4 says this, and we're going to talk about this. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Man, I am so glad. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because this word sorrows here is the same sorrows that's up in verse 3. It means physical, mental diseases, illness, and sickness. Hallelujah. And the thing about it is that when it says that they were all put on him, he lifted them from us, took them upon himself, and then took them upon the cross for himself. Amen? And the thing about it is when you look at that he was afflicted, that word says he was utterly crushed. I'm thinking, man. you know, when you go through all these things and you think it, and you look at it and you see and you kind of go, wow. I mean, he did all these things. He did all, God unleashed all these things here. But even in looking at verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I wrote this down because I got this from the Greek scholar there, and it was good. It says, when all of this occurred, God was unleashing a mighty blow against sin and physical and mental disease and illness and sickness that Christ had willingly absorbed into his being. It says God was waging a war against everything that Christ took upon himself: sin, guilt, shame, lack of peace, and every ailment, every disease, and every torment, both physical and mental, and he placed them on Christ. And so God said, for once and for all, everything is paid for. Amen. So we have a right to receive healing, joy, peace, health, and wellness because it's paid for through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. All of these things, all of these things here, hallelujah. We know that everything that Adam's transgression brought into the earth, the curse, was redeemed through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And getting us to believe that, that is the key. Because, well, what do we do? How do we handle that? You know, and here's the thing about it. The cross is what God launched this attack, and he aimed it at eradicating or doing away with all of the other junk that was connected to all of the trash that went to with the fall of man and with the enemy. Amen? So I'm going to read you Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5. You know, and just Isaiah 53, 5 through the interpretive version here of how all of the Hebrew words go. It says, but he was pierced and deeply wounded for our transgressions. That is, our violations of God's commandments and God's nature, including sin and rebellion and turning against God. He was beaten and crushed and destroyed for the removal of our iniquities. That is, our guilt, our moral lapses, our depravity, our perversity and shame. The punishment that we deserve for our past activities was laid on him. And we have been given peace in its place. Not just tranquility, but an all encompassing state of wholeness and completeness in every part of our lives. That we can peacefully thrive and do to the massive full body bruises and welts and stripes that were laid on him by a severe lashing of the whip, we are healed from all manner of physical and mental disease, illnesses, and sicknesses. Amen. I like that. He gave a full thing of that. And it's like, man, that is really cool. And saying, hey, this is for all of us here. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And now I'm going to put this other one over here. We can make go to that one, but I'm going to go to this one here. So one of the things about healing and one of the things about wellness and health means we're just in good working order. It means that we can still function. We're still doing some things here. Because when you understand healing, and this is where the body of Christ, so we're talking about the body of Christ. We're not talking about the world. Praying for somebody who doesn't know anything, need to pray for their healing. Yes. The Bible talks about praying for our healing, praying for folks too, even in the body of Christ. But as believers in the body of Christ, we've got to understand our approach. How do we approach God in faith, believing, knowing what the word of God says, knowing that we've got a covenant that says, by your stripes, we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by your stripes, we were healed. So if we are and we were, then we is should be. Amen. We is. So this, but faith is always now. So the answer to everything's in the word of God. It's coming to God based on our relationship. Because healing is not an outward manifestation. It's not getting your body healed. Healing is an inward quickening of your spirit that you know, and then it manifests on the outside. Because you know you're healed first before it ever takes place, if you get it the way God wants you to get it. Amen? if you get it by, you know, getting it through of what God is saying, you know. And it's not a matter of getting healed. It's a matter of receiving healing. There's a big difference. Amen? You got to receive. You've got to receive. You know, even going down and about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when Peter and John went down to Samaria, the Bible says they went down there, you know, because they heard that the disciples there had believed the word of the Lord. They'd gotten saved, but none of them had received the Holy Spirit. They weren't trying to get it. See, anytime you're trying to get it, you're trying to get something from God. And he's already paid for it. He's already given it. It's already a healing covenant given to us. We've got a better covenant. Healing belongs as Jesus is the healer. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you go out, you lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, so God already commissioned the church to be against sickness. Yeah. Church isn't supposed to embrace sickness. Yeah. We're against sickness because we're to lay hands on the sick and see him recover. Okay? So when we go to God, we're going to receive from God, not trying to get from God. Amen? Because Jesus paid the price. He paid for salvation. He paid for healing on the cross. It was a twofold redemption. And it's a covenant that we have. Hallelujah. See, because when you come in an understanding that you're the healed fighting off sickness, it changes everything. But if you come as the sick trying to get healed, you don't know if you're ever doing enough, if you've ever believed enough, exercised your faith enough. Am I getting to the right place? Where do I get to this spot to where I get it? And you're always trying. But you, when you believe that you are healed and you're fighting off these symptoms and you're fighting off this sickness because it's not allowed to stay. Because sickness is going to come. Disease is going to try to come. But you've got to take authority over that. The minute that you hear it, you got to get your faith into the mix. Amen? You know, you are the healed fighting off sickness. You're not the sick trying to get healed. Amen? Because we have a better covenant. We have a covenant based on the word of God. So we've got to believe, hallelujah, in what the word of God says and release our faith and believe that. Amen? I says, yeah, but I know that I'm sick. I can feel all the symptoms. I understand that. But faith calls those things that be not as though they were. It doesn't call those things that are as though they are not. So if you look like death warmed over and you tell me, well, I'm not sick. You know, if you walk like a duck, quack like a duck, you know, you a duck, okay? Same thing. You know, but you're not saying, what you're saying is that timeout. I believe that I'm healed. There's sickness trying to attach itself to my body. People always say, well, that's just semantics. No, it's the difference between faith and then just agreeing with the word of God and realizing, because if you understand that, wait a minute, something's trying to steal something from me, I don't have to work to get something. I don't work to get my healing, just like I didn't work to get my salvation. Amen? Amen? I received that. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I received being born. I didn't get it. Amen? Can you understand? I can't earn it. I can't get it. Jesus is the healer. Yes. Amen. Amen? And here's another thing, too. We were discussing this today. You know, you need to understand that God's given us the methods. Because people have a tendency. They have a tendency to put God in a box. Okay? Hey, highest and best. Okay, highest and best. Number one highest and best spiritual method of healing is God heals you. God, you just get healed. Everything leaves, gone, boom. Hey, I'm totally well. That's the highest and the best. You got it on your faith. Everything's great. Very few people do that. Now don't shout me down. Don't get upset. We're growing. We're exercising our faith. Okay? Hallelujah. But aren't you glad God didn't just say, if you don't go there, you're never going to make it. Whew. Amen? Because let's go from the top to the bottom. Yes. Let's pray. Bottom is, let's pray. Let's pray. Prayer is awesome. Yes. Let's pray one for another. Yes. James 5:16 says, you come together, you pray one for another that you may be healed. Yes. God connected healing with the body of Christ. for us to pray. One, that's why I say, hey, I need prayer. Why do we have a prayer line? Why do we have a prayer team? Why do we? Because we're praying. We're believing God answers prayer. He told us to pray. Amen. Mark 11, 24. What things have ye desire? When you pray, believe that you receive them. Lay hands on the sick and I'll recover. If there be any sick among you, James 5, 14, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them know them with all. Then pray the prayer of faith and it'll raise them up. And if they committed any sins, it'll be forgiven. Amen. That means you're not, you come, you even if you've just been sinning all day long, God still heal you. Amen. I mean, glory to God. You say, I need some help here. Good, come. We got the bottom and we got the top. Now let's look at everything in between. Okay? All right? We have, you know, and we have this tendency to think, well, God can't use anybody. Listen, God can use everybody. And I'm going to blow you away. Guess what? God can even use doctors. Oh, my God. Now you just gone to sin. And now it's either God or the doctors. Who said? Thank you for your overwhelming response. Is that we have this tendency. Understand this. We know in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the king sought the doctors, didn't seek God, and he died. Okay? And you got a lot of people get on the hyperface. They see you can't do anything. You see either God or you're just going to die. Either God. And it's like, oh boy. If we get the body of Christ, believe in the goodness of God and the greatness of God, we'll actually keep a lot of people well and whole. Amen. But you got the other side of the coin. You got King Hezekiah who says, Isaiah says, set your house in order. You're going to die. You got this. And Hezekiah, he prays. He goes before God. He cries out. He does. He sets this house in order. And before Isaiah can get out of the courtyard, God says, go back and tell him I'm giving him 15 more years. But once you tell him he give him 15 more years, now you tell him, here's how he's going to get healed. He's got to get these folks. He's got to get a poultice of figs. He's got to get this thing in, and he's got to put it on that boil. And this is what, you know, I'm going to give him a natural remedy that's going to heal him. God didn't just say, I'll give you 15 more years, you're healed. Well, why not? How come? You know? Do you ever wonder why that in the Old Testament they made him do something? Go dip 7 times. Amen. New covenant, we just think we just got it. So God, you just do it. You know, here it is. But see, that's the problem. We say, God, you just do it. God says, no, what can you receive? Be it unto you according to your faith. Amen. You know. You've heard my stories. I mean, I like believing God. It's what I do. I mean, I exercise my faith and God does great things. But there's been times in my life where I've actually had to go get somebody to agree with me. There's actually been times that God said, you're not going to get healed unless that person prays for you. He said, you got to be kidding me. And I said, yeah, that's what I said. You got to be kidding me. That person? I don't want that person to pray for me. I don't trust that person. See, we want to put, and you say, well, why would God say that? Because there's pride in me. If I don't get it my way, then I don't want to get it. You know, I'll tell you a story because it's with Brother Hagin. But Brother Hagin, you know, and he had Jesus appear to him 8 times, 8 different times. So one of the times he appeared to him, there was this big angel behind him. And so Jesus is talking to him. And then every time Brother Hagin would look at this angel, he would want to gonna say something. And then he turned back. And then so finally, he said, well, who is it? He said, that's your angel. And he's been sent to tell you something. He said, well, you're here. Why don't you tell me? I don't want to have angels. I don't know about angels. I've read through the New Testament 150 times and I don't know about. He said, you know, son, there are a lot of things in it you don't know about. Don't know nothing. You get this. He said, okay. So then Jesus began to take him through and show him about where all the angels began to tell and see. And then Brother Hagin repented. He said, I'm sorry. What do you got to say? And he told him about some things. He told him, don't let these men take over your ministry. Don't borrow the money from them. Don't let this other guy use your tapes. Don't be doing him. I want you to be in control of your whole ministry and your whole tapes and everything because they'll control you and they'll destroy you. He said, I'll bring the money in 4 months. And so, praise God, God did. God brought all the money in and they were able to do what they were doing. Amen? So, you know, and he said, well, why did, because you know, he's been sent, and the angel said, I've been sent from the throne of God to give you these things here and share with you. So praise God. Amen. Aren't you glad for the angel Gabriel, you know, came down and talked to Mary? Aren't you glad for the angel that talked to Cornelius and said, hey, go send men to Joppa and one Simon the Tanner, for you find Simon Peter and get him to come over so you can do, so that the church could be born, so that the Gentiles, hallelujah, we could receive. Amen? Aren't you glad for the angel that, you know, told Philip, go down to the way of Gaza. You're going to jump on an Ethiopian thing there and get him saved so the gospel can go there. Amen. I mean, thank God. We look at things. All of us want to get this thing and say, well, if it's not done this way, if it's not done the way my church says, then it can't be done right. There's a lot in the Bible we don't know. We get into this thing and it gets us all messed up, you know. And we've got to feed ourselves on the Word of God. Yes. See, because when it comes to the avenue of this, is that we have a tendency to get, you know, so concerned about what other people are going to think about our faith. Golly, you got to get over caring about what anybody thinks about, especially about your faith and about your belief in Christ. Because listen, folks, we've got to fight. They're going to keep trying to put sickness out there. They're going to keep saying, there's a new strain of this. There's a new strain of that. Hey, there's a new this. Hey, this is going around. Hey, this. We got to get our faith in the mix. We got to take authority over things. We got to lay hands on our kids. We got to lay hands on ourselves, our spouses. We got to be believed. We've got to come, because there's sickness going to be even more rampant in the world than ever before, because that's what they're trying to do to get fear into us. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to grab a hold of Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Amen. But actually, we need to get a hold of Romans chapter 8, verse 1 first. Okay. What does that say? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to stop right there. I know that it goes for those that walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All right, that's italicized in that verse. But I know what the King James, what they were trying to get across. But it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you don't bring condemnation about yourself, if the devil doesn't have anything to condemn in your life, he has nothing to work with. Amen. Now, verse 2 says this, says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Set you free from the law of sin. The law of sin and death is still at work in the earth because Adam has sinned. The law of sin and death, we still see decay. We still see death. We still see all these things. Okay? We do. We see all this stuff. So the law of sin and death, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. The best story I have on that is John G. Lake when the bubonic plague. He's in Africa and everybody's dying and they're burying. He's taking him and one other guy are taking, and when they send a whole boatload of British doctors down there, they get down there and they're starting to, and all of a sudden they asked John G. Lake, he said, well, what are you taking as a preventative? How come you're not getting sick? I mean, you're dealing with this, you're cleaning everybody up, you're burying people. He said, what I have is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. And of course, these doctors, you know, they're not saved. What are you talking about? He said, let me show you. If you'll take that bloody froth from around this person who died, take it out, put it under the microscope, you'll see that it's full of germs, it's full of life. See how you can see everything? Just look at all that. Look at how, okay. He said, take that same stuff, put it in my hand. Now let's stick it under there. Amen. He said, you stick it under. He said, you see, everything's dead. There's nothing living in that hand. And they said, well, what's that? How's that? He said, that is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that set me free from the law of sin and death. Okay? Now, if you studied the life of John G. Lake, his wife died, his kids died, they all died of sickness, all kinds of crazy things, you're like, glory be to, what the heck? You got great Smith Wigglesworth, man. God did great power, great things. His daughter, you know, had a sickness her whole life. Other kids, you're thinking, okay, what the heck? What's going on with this? Doesn't compute. You know, didn't stop him from praying, didn't stop him from raising people from the dead, believing God, doing things. And yet you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't understand. How can somebody in their own family not get it and they're preaching this? See, now that causes all of us problems. Well, I know this person, they died, and I know they died believing God. That's the only way to die. That is the only way to die, believing God. I wouldn't want to die any other way. And that's one of the things too, just a side note here. We definitely need to teach people how to die. How to live out their life, how to pull up their legs like the Old Testament saints did and just give up the ghost. Thank you for your overwhelming response. We need to learn how. We need to learn how to do it and just and share. We just need to learn how. Praise God. That's going to be one of my books I think I'm going to just have to write, you know, to help people figure out how to do these things here. And, you know, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, grabbing a hold of the Word of God. Amen? And that's why we talk about it. Faith isn't this great thing that we're going to go through life without any troubles or any tests. Usually if you come to a church like this and you get a hold of faith and we're teaching Bible faith and we're teaching the Word, you're going to have a lot more problems. The devil's going to challenge you. He is going to come against you. Amen. Amen. And you have to know that you believe what you believe. Says, well, you know, you believe that. Here's a phrase I want to share with you. You know, because I had people come up and challenge this. The only reason you believe the Bible the way you believe the Bible is because it works. Makes a lot of sense, huh? The only reason you believe the Bible the way you believe the Bible is because it works for you. It sounds real spiritual, sounds real great. So, well, isn't that true? No, that's not true. Because here's the problem. I've believed the Word of God and it hasn't worked for me at times. I still believe the Word of God. I said, no, here's the key. I believe the Word of God, and because I believe the Word of God, it works for me. I don't believe the Word of God because it works. I believe the Word of God, and that's why it works. Because when it doesn't work, I still believe the Word of God. Okay? Let God be true and every man a liar. So I've got to believe that, wait a minute, God said this. God said that if I believe in my heart, amen, confess with my mouth, the Lord Jesus, I'm saved. God said, what things soever I desire when I pray, I believe that I receive them, then I shall have them. And if I don't have them, this, I got to believe that I receive them before I get them. Amen? So it's not... You know, it's not I'm trying to do. I'm believing what the Word of God says. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm taking hold of this. And so I've got to feed myself on the Word of God because I've got to build my, because there's an enemy arrayed against us. So we've got to take our medicine. Amen. Amen? Because God works on one principle and one principle alone, and that's faith. And that's why people get so mad at you because they get so upset. Amen? They say, well, God said just do this to prove he's God. No, God's never done anything to prove he's God. God always does things, and then you have to decide if you want to believe that he is God. Amen? You have to believe that. You have to take hold of the Word of God and say, I'm going to believe this because if God works. I said it like this. God gives you his word so that you can have faith. Then he expects you to come according to the word and believe it. And then he honors that word that you believe. Amen? Because if you don't act on it, if you don't receive and act on it, then it doesn't produce in your life. You know, because all of us have had setbacks. All of us have had difficulties. And we don't know all things. Amen? You know, we don't know. We've had things in our life that has happened and we can't. We may not understand. Hallelujah. But that doesn't do away with the Word of God. Amen? And I think also we don't stand our ground strong enough because we don't believe it enough to die for it. Amen. You know, we had this discussion coming in, and we live in a world that we didn't ask for the fight. Okay, you guys understand that we did not, as the church, go out and try to overtake politics. You know, and we didn't endeavor to do that. We shouldn't have never tried to do that. We were endeavoring to bring morality. But the world has come in. We're now being pushed and shoved, and because of all the things that we're seeing the whole world come into our country, and we're seeing the whole hypocrisy of things, and we're seeing the evil and everything. So they brought the fight to us. Now we have a choice. Are we going to roll over and play dead, or are we going to rise up and fight? And we're not fighting physically. We're not fighting, you know, mentally. We're going to fight spiritually. Yes, and so we're going to fight on our knees. We're going to fight with the word of God. And we're going to fight with our actions. Yes. Amen. Of standing strong. Because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. There's a name. Because the spirit that's operating in them is not stronger than the spirit that's operating in us. Okay. There is not that. That you got to stand strong. You got to watch the power of the brain. And you've got to believe that. You got to believe that the greater one lives in you, that God's given you authority. Amen. Amen? That you've got to believe that. Amen? Hallelujah. And yet, understanding this, especially when it comes to healing and receiving from God, is that you're going on the basis of your relationship with Jesus, of what God's already done for you. And so what you're doing is say, Lord, I believe, and so I'm going to stand, I'm going to resist against the thing, and I believe that I'm healed and whole, and I thank you for what your word says. I'm going to receive my healing and my joy, peace, which is going to be made manifest in my flesh, hallelujah, so that there's not pain, there's not anguish, all these lying symptoms have to go. Amen? Amen. I'm going to attend to your word. I'm going to give the word of God first place, and that's not easy. You think it was easy in the Old Testament when they said, if you want to be healed, you look at this brass snake up here. You keep your eyes on this, and they've already been bitten. And yet the thing about it, the snakes are still crawling. Snakes are still wrapping around their legs, you know? And they got more snakes all around them. And they got to keep their eyes focused on this snake that's up here. It's a snake on the pole. And the snake is the one that bit and is going to end up. But if I want to be healed, I got to keep looking at the snake on the pole and forget about the snakes that are crawling around on my legs. That's not easy. How do you look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and not consider your own body? Abraham considered not his own body being yet 99 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he counted God faithful. Yes. See, when we talk about faith, you say, well, man, faith just seems like it denies it. No, faith never denies anything. Amen. Faith confesses what the word of God says. Yes. Faith says the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Yes. Faith says that it was by Jesus' stripes that I were healed, so I is healed. Faith says I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And the curse of the law is poverty, sickness, and second death. So I've been redeemed from poverty, sickness, and I've been redeemed from sickness. I've got a healing covenant. I've got what God says. I'm going to speak what the word of God says. I'm going to fight all the way through. Amen. I'm going to believe what God's word says. And then here's something else too. Let's get back to the methods a little bit. Listen, if the healing anointing is flowing, and you're believing God, and you've got your confessions, you're doing things, but there's an anointing up here, the river is flowing, why aren't you jumping in the river? Why? Well, I don't want to go, because I already believe I'm healed. I can't have him pray for me. You can if you come upright. You can if you go the healing one. I'm going to jump out in there, glory to God. It's going to boast. Glory, I'm going up there, I believe that I reach, but I'm going, glory to God. Hallelujah, I'm going to get a dose. I'm going to let the power of God hit me. I'm going to let the anointing of God hit. I'm not going to back away. Amen? Hallelujah. And it may be that you need to humble yourself. Thank you for your response again. See, many times, especially, you know, and either go one or two things. Either you just want to stay on the fence over here and not really get into the faith stuff and have to exercise your faith, kind of, you know, or you get way over on the faith side of it and bless God, I'm going to do it my own. I got this. And then you let your faith kill you. See, what do you mean by that? Well, God's got to do it this way. He's got to do it my way. And that's it. And God said, no, I want you to do this. I want you to go that. No, I don't want to do that. You got to do it like this. You become like Naaman. I thought he was going to come out, wave his hand, do an incantation, and he'll lay his hands on me and do all this stuff. Tell me go dip in an old ugly river 7 times. What? I mean, yes, all the other rivers in our country, 10 times cleaner than it. I ain't going to go dip in some stupid river. Thank God for servants. Well, if he'd asked you to do something really bad, you'd have done it. Well, of course, you know, if he'd said, hey, you got to go. He said, go do it. What is it going to hurt? Just go do it. Just go do it, you know. Hallelujah. Because people ask me all the time, how do I get the power of God to be made manifest? How can we have this power? We have this supernatural. How can we not have a miracle? Because we don't have miracles, signs, and wonders. It's just simply this. It's a lack of faith. We don't believe that God's going to show up. People ask me all the time, well, why were these meetings so powerful? Why were these meetings so great? Because people all over the world spent thousands of dollars to get to one place to hear one man minister the word of God or to hear a group of people. And they came with such expectancy, such hunger, such desire. Here we go. Amen? Hallelujah. It's kind of funny. Did you ever, you know, hear the story of that little boy, I think his name was Michael, but he was with Oral Roberts. And Oral Roberts had just laid hands on 1,000 people that night. Literally, he laid his hands on 1,000 people. He sat in a chair. And so he was exhausted. And he was walking back doing something. And there's a little boy. He was in crutches. And he had his head down. And Oral Roberts, he said, hey, what's wrong? He said, well, I came here tonight. I'm looking for Oral Roberts. And he said, well, I'm Oral Roberts. He said, well, I came here tonight because I'm supposed to be healed tonight. He said, well, I've prayed for it. He said, I'm exhausted. I said, really? He said, doesn't matter. I know that God said I'm supposed to find you and I'm healed tonight. So Oral said, well, I prayed. He said, but really, I just was like, here you go, son. Praise God. You know, hallelujah. And then walked away. Well, the next year he went back to the same place. And this young boy came up to him and said, hey. And it was like, hi, who are you? He said, I'm the young boy that you prayed for after you prayed for 1,000 people. Totally healed and well. And then 55 years later, totally healed and well. Because the young boy said, no, I'm supposed to be healed tonight. Doesn't matter. You're not the healer, but you're supposed to be here. You're supposed to lay hands. And God's supposed to heal me. Don't you just love childlike faith? Just love it. Amen. Just love it. Just love it. I just love childlike faith because it's like, doesn't matter how you feel, doesn't matter how tired you are, it only matters what God said to me. Yes. Amen. Goes back to the other story about the little girl who got prayed for with the goiter on her neck, and she'd get up and testify every Sunday for a year. I'm healed. Just want y'all to know I'm healed. I just thank Jesus I'm healed. And finally they said, told her mom and told everything, said, you need to have her stop doing that. Just stop. Because this is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. We all know she's not healed. We can see that she's not healed. It's terrible. It's been a year, nothing going. And she's doing all. So the mom's like, honey, you can't testify anymore. And she's like, well, mom, I'm healed. She goes, honey, we all know you're not healed, but I am healed. So that night she was doing a prayer. She said, Lord, why don't you show everybody else what I already know? Why don't you just help them? You know, I like something that person said one time. Seemed like a 12-year-old kid with one eye and half sense would understand that. Amen? But that night, when she woke up the next morning, it was all gone. It was completely gone. It looked from now. And here's the funny thing. Went back to church that week and it's all gone. Everybody's like, oh, you're healed. And they're jumping all around. She's like, I got healed over a year ago. Yeah. No, because I'm walking by faith and every one of you are all walking by sight. Yes. And the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And people have a tendency. See, that's where they think, well, your faith isn't working because I can't see anything. See, faith is an incredible, powerful force. But the problem is that we have a tendency, you know, to be looking at what we see on the outside, you know. And that's why in Proverbs chapter 4, says that, you know, we need to attend to his words. Incline our ear unto his sayings. Let them not depart from before our eyes. That means his words. Because his words are life unto those that find it and health to all their flesh. He goes on to say in verse 23, that was verse 20, 21, and 22. But in verse 4, 20, 21, and 20, and then verse 23, it says, guard your heart. Because out of it are the issues or the forces of life. You got to guard your heart. And that's where, because faith is of the heart. Amen? Healing's of the heart. Everything that we receive, salvation is of your heart. So it's everything, because we're a new man. That's where everything comes out of here that affects everything here. Amen? And listen, we would love for instant, and we love the instantaneous. We love that. We love that. And so we're endeavoring to believe for the instantaneous. But thank God for the healing power. Thank God for healing virtue. Thank God that we can continue to let God, and God can begin to see us amend. Hallelujah. Amen? And that's where faith comes in. Faith comes in where you begin to see yourself well and whole, even before you're well and whole. Amen? Amen? And here's something too. You always got to be careful too, that don't ever base your faith on prayer. Ooh, y'all doing okay? I know we got to do a faith one-on-one. We have to just get in and just really take some time to overturn every little nook and cranny sometimes, as they say here. What do I mean, don't base your faith on prayer? You don't. You don't base your faith on, if you've prayed enough, you don't base your faith on this prayer or that prayer. Those things. You base your faith on the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the only where faith is. And people don't get healed because they base their faith on prayer and not on the Word of God. Amen? And God can do all kinds of things where he can turn around and say, hey, let's do this. We base our faith, you know, because we're basing our faith on prayer. Now listen, we need to pray. God wants us to pray for folks to be healed. God wants us to pray for folks to be saved. God wants us to pray for folks to be delivered. All right? Thank God for prayers. Thank God for people that have prayed, because God can come on the scene. Amen? But you don't base your prayer, your faith, on how much prayer has been made. It's kind of like the guy that he was an evangelist. And he got something wrong with his throat. So he couldn't, you know, not going to be able to, doesn't have a line. So he said, everywhere you go, he said, I want you all to pray for me. I want you all to believe God. He said, you know, so he's at his mom's house. They're out on the farm. And he's sitting there, lying there, and he can't hardly talk above a whisper. And he's saying, God, if prayer was going to work, I bet there's at least, probably without exaggeration, maybe 10,000 people praying. Even if they did for a minute. Even if they just did it at the time I asked them. He said, there's been 10,000 prayers prayed for me. If prayer was going to get the job done, it already got it done. What's going on? Amen. He said, what's going on? And God just spoke to his heart. Said, no, that's not going to. He said, you know, and then all of a sudden on the inside, he said, you know what? I'm going to praise you because your word is it. I'm going to praise you because we've prayed for you. I'm going to praise you for my healing. I'm just going to pray. He said, I'm going to go out here under this tree. Either they're going to find me dead out there, or I'm going to get healed, and then I'll walk back. And he praised himself well. Amen? Hallelujah. And it's just like another thing which says this. They showed this missionary, and she had a vision, and it was an old scale. And on one side had prayer, and prayer was way down here, and everybody prayed, and up here was praise. He said, when your praise is overriding your prayers, you'll be healed. And so she began to praise and praise God and thank God for her healing. And she began to do things. Doesn't mean that prayer was wrong. It just simply means that we were basing our faith on prayer, on the asking, and not on the believing. It's not on the asking. It's on the believing. Amen? You know. See, we understand that. And here's the thing. We don't need to make peace with the enemy. Don't make peace with sickness. God calls sickness captivity. Jesus called sickness bondage. The Holy Spirit called sickness oppression. I mean, praise God. Thank God how we can exercise authority over this body. And we need to. And we need to tell the devil, no, you can't stay. No, you cannot. This body has to function. I have to be able to breathe. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from all the junk that goes on. Thank you. I have a sound mind. I have a sound mind. Amen? You know, God's not giving me a spirit of fear. I'm not afraid I'm going to lose my mind. I'm not afraid I'm going to have this. I'm not afraid of this. God's not giving me a spirit of fear. He's giving me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. So I'm going to declare that. I'm going to declare that my body is full of life, health. I'm not going to put poison in it. I mean, if you're just eating chocolate donuts all the time or pumpkin pie or apple pies and doing all that stuff there and you're not eating anything good. You know, if those are all good, that's a true confession of me because that's what I just had this week. I had chocolate donuts, I had pumpkin pie, and I had apple pie with ice cream. And I mean, I had all that junk, okay? I had it all, and I loved it. I'm going to have it all from now until Christmas because it's good, okay? But if I don't eat something else healthy, see? Now, come on, man. Don't be judging me. It's just the way it is. It was good. It was really good, okay? But you can't just do that all the time. I know I get to do that more than most of you, but that's just because I can't help that way my body is. It works. But I still have to also pray and to believe God. Amen? What am I sharing? I'm just sharing with you this, is that Jesus paid the price for our healing, and it was such an incredible price, okay? And for us not to believe that we can be well and whole, or not to fight for it and not to receive it and not use our faith on it, is a detriment to him and what God did. Because God did. God, that was it. When he did all this stuff and laid everything on Jesus, he told Satan, you're through. And Satan's still trying to, you know, kill the body of Christ. But we've got a promise. We've got a covenant. We've got the word of God. Amen? And it works. Amen? And the reason it works is because we believe it. We don't believe it because it works. It works because we believe it. I want to get that across to you. See, that is what changes everything. Amen? I mean, I remember when those two guys cornered me and they're like, they were so mad. I said, listen, but I said, no, that's you're wrong. You're wrong in what you're assuming because that's why you're frustrated. Because it's not working for you. And they go, yeah, it's not working. I said, why is it? Because you don't believe it. Wait a minute. No, you believe it because of that. No, I said, no, I believe it. Even if it didn't work, I still believe it. But that's why it works. People get upset and mad. It's like, I can't help that. That's faith. That's the body of Christ. Amen? And guess what? We're going to fight them. We're going to pray. We're going to lay hands on them, anoint with oil. We're going to believe God. We're going to continue to confess strength, confess all these things here. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, and that's it. And then, but we're not going to let the devil win, no matter what. Because here's the joy of it. If we die, we're going to go to heaven. We win. Death is swallowed up in victory, okay? Now, I don't want any of you checking out, but it's heaven's a pretty cool place, okay? So, but here it is. It's like, hey, now, you know, let's take hold of the word of God and let's just believe him and let's let him lead us and guide us and direct us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. I've just shared from my heart as a pastor to a sheep and sharing truths from the word of God. Thank you for health. Thank you for healing. Thank you for wellness. Thank you for your hand upon us. Lord, we honor you. We love you. We praise you for it, Father. Lord, thank you. We're just taking a dose of medicine tonight. We're taking a dose of healing tonight. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for enduring the cross. And even so much more of you were beaten and that was the physical side of it. But man, the spiritual side that Jesus, God laid all of our sin upon you. Wow. That torment, that anguish when you cried out to God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he laid our sin and you were the supreme sacrifice. Oh, wow. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we want to receive and we want to take hold. Thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I preach me happy one more time, so it's all good. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're going to worship God with our Wednesday night tithes and offerings. So if you need an envelope, the ushers will get that to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. As I always tell you, I got to pay attention to what I'm doing here. So, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Amen, amen, amen. We're good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you. What a privilege it is to sow seeds into the kingdom of God. Father, thank you. We can bring our tithes and we can worship you with a giving. Lord, I thank you. You're opening the windows of heaven, pouring out blessings, Father. I believe that with all my heart. I do, Father, that every need is met. And Lord, we honor you for it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Ushers, go ahead. Let's receive this. Praise the Lord. Just wanted to let everybody know that this Saturday from 8 to 3 o'clock, we're doing the active shooters things. This is the thing here. So it's our with our security ushers and children's and preschool. We're just all coming together, and it's going to be we're actually going to be doing scenarios and everything if there's an active thing going on. And so it's something we're doing for our preparation and our training just to keep us safe and keep everybody else safe. And if you'd like to be involved with that, you can show up there. We're going to give everybody pizza at lunchtime. But we have a person coming from who's in connection with the California Intelligence, or I shouldn't say California, Central Intelligence, the CIA of the United States is coming in to do things and teach and train us. And it's going to be a blessing. You guys will be blessed with it. So it's pretty cool. Amen. So, and the reason we're doing this is so that we can protect everybody that's here. We're just on the right page. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, have great things in store coming up here, hallelujah, in the month of October. Month of October, man, wow. I forgot to announce to you, last Sunday was our 31st church anniversary. We're 31 years old now. So I didn't say anything about it. I just thought, it's only 31. We'll wait till we're 35, then we can celebrate. But anyways, hey, let's all stand up. God loves you. I love you. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Amen. You're dismissed.